Bibles, and we'll start in Galatians. Actually, we're going to look at quite a few verses in Galatians to finish this up tonight. So you can go ahead and open up to Galatians chapter 5. So we spent these last 12 weeks, this is the 13th lesson, on dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. And we want to finish that up tonight with the idea of the blessing of bearing fruit. So let's see how well you can do. We've been working on memorizing verses 22 and verse 23. So without looking at your Bibles, let's begin, and then we'll have a word of prayer. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Is no law. What is that? Well, let's have a word of prayer first. Father, we ask that you would bless now our Bible study tonight, that you'd meet with us in a very real, special, and powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we get into the study tonight, what does that mean? Against such, there is no law. So we've spent all these weeks and we looked at each of these individually and we've discussed them. And then at the end of these couple of verses, Paul makes that statement. Against such there is no law. Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. You can't go wrong. Actually, it's even more so, you can't go wrong if you are displaying the fruit of the Spirit. It's interesting, too, and we're going to look at some of these verses, but Galatians is filled with verses that deal with the law. And just as you would read through Galatians, you would see that. You know, the whole idea that no man is justified by the law. So there's a heavy emphasis in Galatians. In fact, one of the reasons that Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia was the fact that some of them were reverting back to a very legalistic type of walk. And Paul deals with that and challenges them with regards to that. But the whole point of this series of messages, the series of lessons, was the whole idea of you and I bearing fruit. So look on your handout, if you will. I put for you John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is the great vine chapter. I am the vine. And Jesus said this in John chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. So we're reminded here as we get into this, the importance of abiding in Christ. That if we're going to bring forth much fruit, we had better abide in Him. So what does that mean to abide in Him? What does that mean? Well, okay, but what does that mean? What is a manifestation of that? I mean, if we're abiding in Christ, I mean, what's taking place in our lives? Spiritual growth, that's good, and living a righteous life. Okay, that's really the fruit itself that's being born. But to abide in Christ, if you're going to abide in Christ each day of your life, and that's correct, what Jim just said. What are just some simple truths to abide in Christ? I was having this discussion not too long ago with someone. I asked them, when was the last time you read your Bible? Well, let me guess. Can you be abiding in Christ and not spending any time in the Word of God? Not really. So if you want to bear fruit, there's no way, in my mind, you're going to be able to bear fruit and not spend any time in God's Word. And you could go right down just the basics, all of the basics. Prayer time, and And I'm really big on spending time meditating on the Lord and the things of God. Just thinking about the things of God. Apart from a prayer closet and apart from a Bible time of reading, but just to sit and just to think about the things of God and abiding in Him. That's if we're going to bring forth fruit, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, if we're going to display these things here, then these fruits here, I shouldn't call them things, then we have to abide in Christ. Read on in John, look what it says. So he says, "The same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me you can do nothing. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." So we realize there quickly that now we must abide in the Lord, and we realize if this is not our fruit, we've talked a lot about this, this is His fruit, amen? And the fruit is given, the fruit is to be manifested, the fruit is to be produced to bring glory to God. Then he goes on, he says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." It's kind of not an option. You know, do you want to bring forth fruit? Do you not want to bring fruit? No, you should go and bring forth fruit. This is part of the Christian life. And he says that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name, He shall give it you. So this whole idea of bearing fruit, Jesus lays this out in John chapter 15 and then in Galatians chapter number 5, as we've looked at these weeks, we've just kind of reinforced that, and it's been identified in our lives. So, a couple of things on the back of your handout here. Just I want to look at some of these tonight as we kind of sum up this whole series of lessons. So I broke this down into three areas: a time of rejoicing, a time of refreshing, and a time of revival with regards to us bearing fruit. So when we bear fruit, it is a time of rejoicing. You know, in the Bible, when the harvest season came, there were great Jewish feasts and festivals just to identify that God is the God of the harvest, but also to just rejoice in all that was produced. And when you and I bear fruit in our lives, it ought to bring a sense of rejoicing in our lives. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord and always, and again I say rejoice." Then when we did the lesson on temperance, then Paul went on to say, "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." So rejoicing comes when we're abiding in Christ, because the Lord is there in our lives. And that rejoicing, I just kind of broke it down into three simple points here. We ought to really every day just rejoice in our salvation. Every day, think about the fact that we were lost and we were on our way to hell, but Christ came and died and paid for our sin. We were hell-bound sinners. Every day. And I praise God for that. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 1 in Galatians. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. The Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage." Now, the primary context of this, I really believe, is Paul writing to these churches. And again, they were getting caught up in legalism. But the whole idea of the fact that we were once in bondage to sin, and Jesus came and saved us and delivered us from sin, and we don't have to be in bondage to any sin. We've been set free. Amen? And so we should rejoice in that. Doesn't it sometimes break your heart that you look out and you see in the world people who are in bondage to sin? I mean, it does mine. I see people who are in bondage to alcohol. We have an opioid epidemic going on. People who are in bondage to that, and you know, one thing after another, in bondage to gambling, and in bondage to pornography, and in bondage to all of these things. And each and every day, we should just be thankful that Jesus not only set us free and we have eternal life, but we don't have to be in bondage to anything. We've been set free. And this liberty that we have in Christ. That look at verse 13 of chapter 5. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And there's one of the fruit of the Spirit, loving one another. And that's because of the salvation that we've had. Even in our salvation, the Lord has allowed us to love our enemies. Rejoice in your security, that we're secure in Christ. I read this not too long ago. You know, when they were building the Golden Gate Bridge, I don't know if you've ever been to the Golden Gate Bridge, but it's been a long time, but I've been over the Golden Gate Bridge several times. It's probably not only happened with the Golden Gate Bridge, but other buildings as well and bridges. But when they began to build that, there were no safety precautions. And 23 men fell off the Golden Gate Bridge while they were building it, were killed. So after the 23rd, they figured they better put up some safety nets. And after they put up safety nets, 10 more men fell off the bridge. But those 10 men survived. They were caught in the net. And one of the great things that we can rejoice about in our salvation is that we're not going to live a perfect, sinless life. And we don't have to worry if we step out and we're not, you know, we know that we're commanded to bear fruit, but sometimes we don't always bear fruit. And we know we're not always walking in the Spirit. Sometimes we are walking in the flesh, but Christ is our safety net. And we shouldn't take advantage of that, but we understand that we don't have to worry about whether am I saved today, am I lost today? No, we have security in Christ. And if we would think about that, cause us to rejoice. And then we just rejoice in our Savior. Look at Galatians chapter 2, because it's our Savior that makes it all possible, our salvation and our security. This verse here is a brand new Christian, and my wife and I were driving back from New Jersey, and we were going through Albany, and there's still a radio station, 107 something out of Albany, which is now, I think it's a country, back then it was a country music station. 107. But on Sunday nights, they would play gospel music. And we were brand new Christians, and so we had always listened to music, but a lot of the music that we listened to was really not, it wasn't Christ-centered, let's just put it that way. And but we would turn 107.7 on, and we would listen. So one night we're driving home, and I'm listening to this, and they quoted Galatians chapter 2, the DJ quoted Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I'm crucified in Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I now live by the Son of God. I thought to myself, wow, that's a really cool verse. So I memorized that. It's one of the first verses I memorized. Because what a wonderful thing to know the Savior, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I rejoice in that. I rejoice in that every day. And you and I, we ought to rejoice in that every day. And that reminds us that the fruit of the Spirit, to love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance, that those are the things that need to be exercised in our lives. Are they always exercised in our lives? They're not. But we ought to desire for them to be. We ought to bear fruit. When they're not, it's probably because we're not abiding in Christ. So a time of rejoicing. And then you notice on your handout a time of refreshing. Look at the verse I have on your handout for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul said this, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. These believers refreshed the Apostle Paul. They were refreshing. Stephanas was the believer that the Bible says a few verses prior to that he was addicted to the gospel. It's a good thing to be addicted to. If you're going to be addicted to anything, you'd be addicted to the gospel. And first we're refreshed by the Comforter. Chapter 3, look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's the question he had for them. Did you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because you were obedient to the law or because of faith? Of course, we know the answer. It's because they put their faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit now lives inside. And so we're reminded that we could go back to the Gospel of John where Jesus talks about the Comforter coming and the Comforter shall teach us all things. And the Comforter is given for you and I to be instructed by and to be led by. And that we're reminded not to quench the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God that refreshes us every day. Every day. But if we're not abiding in Christ, there's no refreshing. If we're not spending time with the Lord, there's just no refreshing. We need to be refreshed by the Comforter. Just as these believers came, and these believers, in order for them to refresh the Apostle Paul, they had to be believers that were just filled with the Spirit of God and they were fruit bearers. And then we're refreshed by other Christians just like they were. You and I, as we bear fruit, we refresh other Christians. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, so there's the relationship. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest also thou be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what's the law of Christ? What is the law of Christ? Yeah, that's the two great commandments. But to love your neighbor as yourself, that's the law of Christ. And so when we are walking in the Spirit, we're bearing the fruit of the Spirit, then we're refreshing other Christians. And how important is that? It's very important. And you read the writings the writings of the Apostle Paul. He uses this terminology in the book of 1 Thessalonians. He uses this terminology in not this exact word refreshing. He uses it in the book of Philippians. He uses it in the book of Philemon. He uses this in the book of Romans. How other believers refreshed him. How other believers were used of God to encourage him. How other believers were used of God to just help him to continue to go forward when he was going through very difficult times. So we're refreshed. Other Christians refresh us. And then we're refreshed for other Christians. Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 23. So in other words, the point that I was making there is there are those at times that refresh us, and then there are when we are refreshing others. Chapter 1 and verse 23. Now, chapter 1 of Galatians is a history of the Apostle Paul and how he came to know Christ. And he goes and he says, look at verse 21. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. See, understand what Paul is saying here? I came into this region, and when I came into this region, they didn't know me by face, but they had heard about my reputation. if we were to read more, they would have remembered that it was Paul that at one time had arrested Christians and imprisoned Christians and put Christians to death. And now, all of a sudden, this same Paul is a believer. Now he's preaching the gospel. And the Bible says, and they glorified God in me. In other words, there were those that were just amazed at the transformation that took place in the Apostle Paul. There was something different now about him. And you and I, when we endeavor to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, people see Christ living in and through us. I saw someone not too long ago in the supermarket, and they used to come to church many, many years ago, he and his wife, and then they moved away, and now they're kind of back in the area, and he made a point, actually, he was working there, and he made a point to come out and speak with me, and they were a nice couple, and went through a discipleship course, and were somewhat active in the church for, a couple of years, I would say, and now they've kind of gotten away from the Lord. And so I said to them, I really would love for you guys to come back to church. I really miss you. I really enjoyed it. You know, he said, we really enjoyed it when we came. So you kind of take a step back in your mind and say, well, if you really enjoyed it when you came, why don't you come back? And so I don't know, maybe they will. I'm praying for them that they will come and be part of our fellowship here. But I said, then we were talking about something else, and I don't know, the subject came up, and I just kind of joked with him, and I said, well, you know, pastors, we only work 3 hours a week. You know, Sunday morning for an hour, Sunday night for an hour, and Wednesday night for an hour. And he said, no, Pastor. He says, I know you work a lot more than that. There's a lot of other things that you have to do. And I don't say that to pat myself on the back, but I would have to say, boy, it was nice that he recognized that, and he understood that ministry was more than 1 hour on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and on Wednesday night. And I did spend a lot of time with them, and I went personally through the discipleship class with him and his wife. So anyhow, so I see him now pretty regularly, and I just keep. He rides a motorcycle. I told him, well, I'd love to take a bike ride with you this summer. We take our bikes out and ride, and just try to love him back to church, you know. And I see people like that all quite regularly who used to be in church and now have fallen away. It's so easy to fall away. Very easy. And if you've been involved in a church, in a Bible-believing church, and you no longer are, it kind of leads to the next point. You need revival in your life, a time of revival. Look at what Isaiah says, Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Wow, that's an amazing way to describe the Lord, isn't it? The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I did the Adult Day Center service today, and I quoted out of the book of Isaiah. It's so funny to do that because they say one of the ladies yelled out, yeah, that Isaiah, he said a lot of stuff, didn't he? And I said, yeah, he said a lot of stuff. I said, but the high and lofty one, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. But you notice in that verse, before revival comes to a heart, there must be a contrite and a humble spirit. Because a contrite and a humble spirit will recognize, I need revival. And you know, it doesn't matter who you are, we all need revival at times in our lives. Someone asked there was a famous preacher, I guess it was around the turn of the early 1900s, his name was Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday was a professional baseball player for a good part of his life. He'd go into towns and he'd preach, and he'd preach hard. He'd shut down bars and shut down the theaters, and he was quite the preacher. But one time somebody asked Billy Sunday this. They said, why do you keep preaching revival when You know, you go into these churches, you have these meetings, and it seems that for a while people get stirred up and they follow the Lord and then they fall back away. Well, that's part of what revival is. It would be good if we could get revived and stay revived, but revival is something that should take place in our life fairly regularly. So his response to them was, well, how often do you take a bath? And of course, the person would have said, well, I take a bath regularly. Yeah, that's why we need revival regularly. We just need to sit and hear the preaching of God's word. And when God speaks to our hearts, then we let him deal with us. Personal revival and in our lives. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Listen, there are times in all of our lives that we are not walking in the Spirit, we are walking in the flesh. And when you walk in the flesh, it reaps corruption. That's why personally we need revival in our lives. When we don't have the joy of the Lord and the peace of the Lord and the long-suffering and the temperance and the meekness and the faith of the Lord, we need to recognize that. We need personal revival. And then family revival in our own families. Look at Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Well, as fathers in the home, it's our responsibility to teach to our children. Doesn't matter how old they are. Teach to the children. Still teaching kids, my kids, and they're not little. Still trying to show them what's right. They'll all turn to adults, and then they'll have to walk. You can't hold their hand forever. You can only show them what's right and what's wrong. I'm not going to go into the details, but I had this really great conversation. I've asked you to all pray for my son Josh regularly. And New Year's Eve, everything was over, and he decides at 12:30 that he'd like to sit and talk to mom and dad. So we sat in my living room for two hours and just talked and talked and talked. And it's a really good talk. And things that there's always things that you'd like to say sometimes and you just never are. Well, it was one of those conversations that everything I wanted to say, I was able to say. And everything I wanted him to hear, he just listened and we talked back and forth. Here he is. He's 30. I don't know, how old is your brother? He's 30, 32 years old. And I'm still trying to teach him. Right? Still trying to teach him. And so you never stop teaching him. So all you can do, though, is teach them, and then they have to make their own choices and their own decisions. But that's family revival. And, I'm afraid sometimes in our own families and in leadership, they don't always see the love of Christ in the leadership or the joy or the peace or the long-suffering. You know, 11 o'clock at night when a bunch of young people were at my house and I got woke up because I was sleeping. And that happened last night. Wasn't a lot of joy in my house. All right, it's time to go home. Anyhow, that's just a private. but they have to see it in us. And so we don't always, as leaders in our home, you're not always going to walk in the Spirit. Sometimes you walk in the flesh. Try not to. You understand what I'm saying? And we need revival. So family revival, and then church revival. Galatians 6:14, as we finish up, look what it says here. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Well, that's a great verse for every church member to memorize. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Church isn't about you getting glory. Remember, what did Ethan say on Sunday? He had told us twice. Something about somebody left the church and said, he didn't mean this church. He was just using this as an example. They left the church one time. Oh, I didn't really like the music. And what, somebody turned to them and said something like, well, that's good because we didn't come to glorify you or praise you. We came to glorify and praise the Lord. And but that's what church is supposed to be about. And people get all turned around and upside down and backwards. Forget that. But you and I as believers, you know, we're going to have church when we come. Let's walk in the Spirit. Love one another. And that's part of the point of this whole series of lessons. And the joy of the Lord. And peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. And I think, you know, as our church continues to move forward, and you know, I see a lot of that, but you have to endeavor, it means we all have to abide in Christ if we're going to continue to see that. And doesn't mean that there won't be bumps along the way, but just walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that's our series of lessons on fruit grows where the stream flows. Let the stream of God's Spirit flow through your life, and you'll produce that fruit. Amen? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and then you can go and have some prayer time. Lord, thank you again for tonight and the opportunity to be here. We ask and pray your blessing upon our prayer time. Let it, Lord, bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.